All right. Welcome. So glad you guys are here. Let's pray. We got a lot to cover today. Father, thank you for who you are. We do not just praise you for the things that you've done for us or the things that we've seen around us, or the creation and the beauty that you've given us in this life. God, we praise you for who you are. You are Yahweh. You are our God. So thank you for just who you are. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for this chance we have just to say to the people around us and to the world around us and to anybody that'll listen, that we love you and we see you and we honor you. God, I pray that everything we do today, everything we say today, every handshake, every hug, every donut we eat, Lord, everything we do today, we give it to you. We give it to you and we honor you with everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm glad you guys are here, and I recognize, look, I know you could be home right now. You could be eating a big breakfast right now. You could be washing your car or mowing your grass. You could be painting your face for the Cowboys game right now. But no, you are in church. In fact, just quick show of hands, how many of you are in church right now? I mean, it's almost every single person here, so praise Jesus for that. But I just want to say thanks for coming to church, but I have to tell you, actually, whether you're with us online or whether you're here in person, as much as we appreciate that you're here, today's not about going to church. Because at home church, we believe that God is calling us to do more than go to church. We believe that God is calling us to do more than have church. We believe that God is calling us to do more than join a church. He's calling us to be the church. Amen. Yeah, because the church isn't made out of sticks and bricks and concrete and steel. The church is made out of people. Yeah, the church is made out of us. And in Colossians, Paul's actually describing Jesus, and he almost inadvertently gives us like a definition of what the church is. Look what it says. This is Colossians 1:18, and he says, Christ is the head of the church, which is, say this with me, which is his body. So the church is the body of Christ. And I want to unpack that a little bit today because it's kind of weird. Jesus said that he was the Son of God, and he said that he was the Son of Man because he was the Spirit of God in a man's body. And in that body, 2,000 years ago, he walked around here on earth. And what was he doing? He was announcing and inviting people into God's coming kingdom, and he was bringing salvation and love and healing and peace and freedom and life into this world as, what we always say, like samples of God's coming kingdom. And then when he returned to the Father, he sent his Spirit back to live in us. And so now we're his body on earth, and we're full of his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, all of you together make up Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So we're all different parts of Christ's body. And 1 Corinthians 12:13, we're all different. Like, some of us are Jews, he says. Some are Gentiles. Some are slaves. Some are free. Some are Baptists. Some are Methodists. Some are Texans. Some are New Mexicans. A couple might even be Californians, right? We're all different. We're all these different parts, and some are hands, and some are feet, and some are kidneys and spleens, right? We're all part of this thing. And Paul says, as different as we all are, as unique as each one of us is, he says we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share that same Spirit. So each one of us is a part of the body of Christ. Now follow this. As his body now, we're filled with his Spirit. We're his body here now. And our joint purpose here now is to continue the work that he did when he was walking around here 2,000 years ago. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And so our role now, our purpose now is to finish what he was doing, to announce and invite people into God's coming kingdom and to bring the salvation and love and healing and peace and freedom and life and purpose of his kingdom into this world. And every Christian and every church and every Christian organization is a part of his body. And that's why collaboration is a core value of this church. That's why we love working together with other Christians and with other churches and with other Christian organizations that are part of the same body and that are full of the same Spirit and that are called to the same purpose. And as you know, with your body, if your body's gonna walk, right? If you're gonna move forward, you don't just need feet, right? You need ankles and knees and hips and lungs and hearts and muscles and blood vessels and nerves. Old people, all the stuff that hurts right now, right? You need all of those parts like working together. Why? Because eyes are really good at seeing, but they're really terrible at pumping blood. Right? Hearts are really good at pumping blood, but they're not that good at breathing. So each part is called and each part is intentionally brought together like pieces of a puzzle, right? He's brought each of us together, each one of us specially gifted, what God has called us to do, and same in the body of Christ. So as we as a church, as we look at this calling, as we look at the work that's in front of us to continue the work of Jesus, we want to collaborate with other body parts and work with them. And like, if we're good at something, let's help somebody that's not. And if somebody else is good at something, let's do what they're doing and help them. So just as an example, we know that poverty and hunger in our local community is a real problem, right? And so we could attack that alone. We could try that on our own, but that would be like the body walking on one foot. So what do? We partner with the San Antonio Food Bank. We partner with Daily Bread to provide groceries for 100 people every week. We could fight sex trafficking alone. We could just say, we're taking this thing on as a church, we are gonna fight this thing alone, but that would be like the body fighting with one hand tied behind their back if we try to do it by ourselves. So what do? We partner with Ransom Life to protect kids and provide healing for victims. See how this works? We could take on the love and care of foster kids in the foster system all by ourselves, but that would be crazy when we could work alongside CASA and One Hope Adoption Agency. Do you get that? We could try to evangelize India by ourselves, but instead we collaborate with Mission India, and we've planted over 200 churches in India. Over 5,000 people have been saved, right? So this is not because of us. Right? It's the body of Christ, right? It's the Spirit of God in all of us together, making up the body of Christ, doing this stuff. And we could take on poverty. And we could take on the hopelessness of the poorest children in the world by ourselves. Children that have lives we can't even imagine. Kids whose lives are a lot different than our kids. Kids that don't choose what they eat every day, they just hope to eat every day. Kids that don't have toys or clothes or even safe drinking water. And kids who, even if they've heard about the love of Jesus, they need to experience the love of Jesus so that they can accept the love of Jesus. Kids whose lives seem hopeless. Kids in places like Mwala in Kenya. So 5 years ago, God led us to not just go to church, to be the church and to help these kids. And it was way too big for us to take on by ourselves. We didn't even know where to start, but God blessed us with a partner. God blessed us with another part of the body of Christ who are so good at this work. And that partner was World Vision. And there are a lot of great organizations in this space. But there were three things, I think, that really specifically led us to World Vision. And I saw all three of those things because I went to Kenya with World Vision, and I saw what they call an ADP, an Area Development Program, that had been going on for about 5 years. And I saw three things that made me say, this is our partner. And the first thing was, they don't just do great work. They do great work in Jesus' name. It's really important to us. That's really, really important to us because I think they really see poverty and hunger primarily as roadblocks to kids experiencing Jesus. And so, yeah, we want to remove those roadblocks, not just so kids can eat, not just so kids can have safe drinking water, so that those kids can experience Jesus. I love it that that's a primary thing for them. That's one of the most important things. The next thing, and this sounds weird, but as much as I love that they're doing good work and that they're doing it in Jesus' name, I love it that they're good stewards. You know, I mean, I want to know that they're taking care of the money. because I'm just like you. I've heard the stories of all these really big multinational organizations, and you've heard of how, you know, they're just taking in millions of dollars, and all of that money goes to CEOs making millions of dollars, and all that money goes to wining and dining people and Lear jets and Ferraris for their executives, and none of that money actually gets to the kids that you thought you were helping. And World Vision is super transparent about how they spend the money that comes in. In fact, I'll show you just a really quick financial accountability chart. You can get this on their website, but you can see for every dollar that comes in, yeah, about 3% goes to management, about 8% goes to fundraising, and 89%, almost 99 cents on almost all of the money that we give into World Vision ends up going to the kids. And you can verify that independently at places like charitywatch.org, or I can just personally tell you that I went to World Vision's national headquarters in Kenya, in Nairobi, and I saw exactly the same number of Ferraris in their staff parking lot as we have in our staff parking lot. Okay, and if you've got it in your head, oh, I know what they're doing. They're taking people around and wining and dining. I can tell you this. They took a very important pastor from Bulverde to Kenya a couple of years ago. And do you want to see what they fed me? Show them, Matt. Fish heads. Fish heads. Fish heads. Fish heads. I lost 9 pounds in 7 days. And look, I'm okay with that. You know why? Because I love it that they do great work in Jesus' name. And I love it that they're good stewards. And this third thing, I love it that they're not about a transaction. They're about transformation. This is not about just giving money to poor people. It's about transforming lives and eternities of these kids and their families and their communities, not for today, not for a season, forever. So just as an example, water. It's always water, right? That's always the thing. So when a community doesn't have safe water, World Vision does not just airdrop 1,000 cases of water in, right? That would be nice, but that would be a transaction, right? You know why? Because it's a one-time deal, and then the water goes away. Right? They don't just go in and drill a water well for these people. That would be cool. That would be great. But that would be a transaction. You know why? Because wells poop out. Right? The wells need maintenance. So instead, when there's a community that's struggling with water, World Vision goes in and works with the local people, drilling the water wells and developing water systems with the people that live there. And they teach them to be self-sustaining, depending only on themselves and on Jesus. And in fact, each one of these ADPs, each one of these area development programs, from the start, from the get-go, they write out their plans, and there's a design, there's an exit strategy, and they know 5 to 7 years, we are out. We're going to get this community up, we're going to get this community self-sustaining, and then we're going to get on to the next community. That's what I love about them. This is not, I said this 5 years ago, this is not a Band-Aid on a brain tumor. Right, this is not just about throwing some money at this and then we feel better for 5 minutes and 10 minutes later this community's back where they were before. This is not about a transaction. This is about transformation, long term, changing the lives and changing the future, changing the eternities of these kids and of these communities and of these families, not just for years, for generations, for forever. So yeah, 5 years ago we partnered with World Vision to transform this community in Kenya called Mwala. And in Mwala, poverty was overwhelming. And education, huge problem. Nobody's going to school. And the churches were really struggling. And for families, like literally getting food every day was a challenge. And stuff we don't even think about, like bathrooms and hand washing and sanitation, they're just not a thing. And of course, the big thing, like it always is, was water. We've got, you know, women walking 4 or 5 miles a day, carrying, you know, 2 Home Depot buckets full of water for their families. And the water wasn't clean. Water wasn't safe. So disease is just out of control. Did you know this? Every day worldwide, about 1,000 children die from drinking unsafe water. 1,000 kids every day. And it's hard to even describe what that looks like. And so I won't even try. I'll just say this. Imagine raising your family in that environment on an income of about $2 a day. Because that's what was going on in Walla. So before we committed to World Vision and before we did this thing, I wanted to see how this works, right? So I went over and I saw this other ADP, this other area development program, and it had been up and running for about 6 years. And what I saw there was transformation. What I saw there was hope and so many just cool people and cool stories. I talked to a 16-year-old named Cipria. I think we got a picture of him. So Cipria was a sponsored child, right? So that means he had a sponsor somewhere that was sending the $39 a month to him, right? But also on his birthday, I think it was his 10th birthday, his sponsor had sent him a present of $50 for his birthday, $50. So you can imagine if your kids got $50, what they might spend it on, he spent it on the same thing they would if he bought two goats, right? Male and a female goat, right? This is not a stupid kid, right? So when I met him, it was like 7 years later. He's a goat rancher now, right? You see, he built that corral out of scraps of woods and stuff that he found. He had like a whole barn and a whole system. And now he's selling goats and he's selling milk and he's selling meat. He's not waiting for the check to come in from America or whatever. He's doing it, man. He's self-sustaining. He's paying for himself to go to high school. You have to pay to go to high school there. He's paying for himself to go to high school. He's paying for his brothers and sisters to go to high school. Last time I talked to him, the plan was he was applying to college. This wasn't a transaction. It's a transformation. My favorite story of the people that I met over there was a guy named Jeffrey. I think we got a picture of Jeffrey. There he is. So he's farming about 1 acre. That was his farm. He was raising sugar cane, and kind of a sad story. So he was raising sugar cane, and something happened. I don't know the sugar cane market. Something went wrong in the world, and all of a sudden it became kind of impossible to make money on sugarcane in small batches like his. And so it was, if you do the math, it was just physically impossible to raise sugarcane and make money. So they're just desperate and they're starving. And, you know, like, what are we going to do? We don't have food. We don't have water. We don't have work. We don't have money. We don't have crops. We don't have anything. And at one point he became so desperate that he signed up to be a mercenary. He signed up to be a soldier in a war that he didn't even know anything about. And he was, you know, obviously just there to get paid. And he was like the lowest, right? The lowest soldier. So you can imagine he's way up front, right? And as he's looking around in this war, he realized, I mean, for sure he's going to die. He knows he's going to die. He's going to die. And he began to think about a decision he needed to make because he was going to die anyway. Should he die here in this war or should he go home and starve to death in front of his kids? And he said he knew if he went home and starved to death in front of his kids, at least they'd see it. At least they'd know that he died trying to take care of them. I mean, can you imagine making that kind of choice? So he went home. About the time that he got home, World Vision came to his area with an area development program. And they convinced him to dig up his sugar cane and to plant profitable crops, kale and spinach and cabbage. And they taught him about irrigation. Show him that picture, Matt. You can't believe how proud this guy was of that irrigation tank. They taught him classes on how to run a business and how to keep a budget. He showed me his budget book. It's like a notebook. He's keeping track of every dime coming in, every dime coming out. And I say dime, that's an expression, right? Some of those things were like 27 cents, 14 cents. He's keeping track of every single penny that came in. All of a sudden, guess what? Jeffrey's making money. Right? He didn't know what to do, so World Vision coached him on reinvesting his profits. So he went into the livestock business, and he bought two goats. Guess what? Now they got milk. Right? Now his boys are drinking milk. Now he's selling goats. Now they're even more profitable, but he had learned to invest profits. So now he bought some chickens. Here, show him a chicken coop. He told me, anytime you tell my story, you got to show my chicken coop. He was very proud of that chicken coop. And now the family is eating eggs. Right? His boys are eating eggs every day, and now he's selling eggs. And then he bought a couple of cows, and then he bought a couple of pigs, and he's killing it, man. His farm is not just thriving. It's self-sustaining, right? Jeffrey doesn't need world vision at all anymore. That was the plan. That was the plan. He's doing great, man. His kids are going to school. Oh, here's a picture. Show a picture of his son. This is his son reading to us. Before he showed us his farm, this is a group of about 8 or 10 of us. He invited us all into his house so he could preach us a little sermon. And so he could show us his house. And he had his son read this story. I bet it's a story that you know. Jeffrey said it was his favorite story and his favorite verse in the Bible. It's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that story? Nebuchadnezzar said to those kids, if you bow down to Yahweh instead of my God, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace, right? He's going to throw you in there. And so Nebuchadnezzar is kind of like trying to, look, guys, use your heads here, man. Just give up on Yahweh and bow down and worship me and my God, and you don't have to go in this fire. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, and this is his favorite verse in the Bible, they said, O king, like, listen, we're sure, we know this is why we're going to get off track on our time. They said, King, look, we know our God will save us. But even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, we will never turn away from him. We'll never worship anyone but Yahweh. Jeffrey said that was his favorite story and his favorite verse in the Bible. Not only is his farm self-sustaining, his faith is self-sustaining. He learned that story in a church supported by World Vision. Not only is his farm self-sustaining and his faith self-sustaining, his family is self-sustaining because his boys eat every day now. Right? His boys are going to school. Guess what subject they are killing it in? Agriculture. Right? Agriculture. This wasn't a transaction. Right? This is a transformation. Not just for that farm. For that family. For the whole community. Because as we were leaving, Jeffrey introduced me to his 4 neighbors that border his farm. And they all came over and they were all telling us how Jeffrey had convinced them to dig up their sugar cane and to plant cabbage. And he was teaching them how to budget and how to irrigate and how to invest. And he was teaching them about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. It wasn't a transaction. It was a transformation. And that's the kind of stories we heard when I went over there to this World Vision ADP. And that's the kind of stories we hope to hear if we were part of this partnership with the ADP in Walla. And we were going to do it through child sponsorship. So you guys are probably aware of child sponsorship. You've probably even done it. So typical, I think, what it looks like, if you go to a Christian concert or something, okay, halfway in the concert, they stop. And it's like, okay, well, look at these pictures of children. They're really struggling. Don't you want to help them? It's $39 a month. Pick a kid. Yeah, right? And they show you, that they fan them all out, and you pick the cutest one, right? And then you support, and that's awesome. It's amazing. It's wonderful. World Vision's been doing that for something like 70 years. But do you remember in Isaiah 43, God said, behold, I do a new thing. Can you perceive it? I'm doing something new. Right? Can you wrap your head around this new thing? And we were really blessed to partner with World Vision doing a new thing in child sponsorship, by piloting a new program called Chosen. And I can explain Chosen to you best by telling you one more story about a kid I met there named Kevin. Kevin was 13. I think we have a picture of me and Kevin together. Yeah, that's Kevin in the front there, and we were planting a tree there. And I was just talking to him. He's 13, got some language issues, right? He speaks English about as well as I speak Swahili, so it was awesome. We're trying to talk, you know. And so I'm asking about his family, how many brothers do you have and all that. What's your day like? I asked, like, what time do you go to school? 6 o'clock. So what time do you get home from school? 6 o'clock. Like, what do you do after school? Chores. So I said, well, you know, good question, right? What do you like to do for fun? And he looked at me like I had 2 heads. you know, fun. And he's like, fetching water? I said, no, fun. You know, fun. What do you like to do? He said, history? I said, I'm not talking about what is the least objectionable thing you have to do today. What I'm asking you, I'm trying to think of a way to communicate this, right? And so I said to him, like, when you can do whatever you want to do, what do you choose to do? He didn't know what I was talking about. And it really sunk in, like, he's never chosen anything, right? He didn't choose that shirt. It's the only shirt he's got. Right? He didn't choose his lunch that day. He was just happy to eat that day. He didn't choose the school he went to. He was just happy that he was getting to go to school. He didn't choose which flavor he put in his water that day. He was just happy to have water that day. So the program we piloted with World Vision was called Chosen. And here's what we did. One Sunday, 5 years ago, we took a bunch of pictures of us. Individuals, couples, families. And me and Margaret took the pictures. And got on an airplane. And we went to Moala for a choosing party. I think we got a picture of the party there, or a few pictures of the party there. Really fun day. Playing with those kids. We ate some fish heads. Margaret got to experience a VIP toilet. She can tell you about that. And the kids looked at our pictures. And for the first time, for some of them in their life, they chose. They picked their sponsors. And they chose the people that would not just send them $39 a month, right? People that would love them and pray for them and care for them and disciple them. Can you imagine the feeling? Can you imagine, like, the value? Can you imagine the dignity for this little person, maybe for the first time in their life, to choose anything, to choose something that important? And we just felt honored to be chosen by Jesus to continue his work, to be chosen by World Vision to partner in this thing, and to be chosen by these kids that chose us. It's not just a transaction. It's a transformation for us too. So that was 5 years ago. Thought you might like an update. So I want to introduce somebody to you. This is Amy Claire Patterson. She's going to come on up. She's a World Vision Senior Strategy and Implementation Manager. Also, she, come on over, Amy. So she sponsored a kid, was chosen by a kid in another church that was piloting this thing at the same time as we did. So she's special, right? And if she were from Texas, we would call her Amy Claire. But she's from Indianapolis, so we call her ACP. Okay? So you guys clap for her, would you? This is Amy Claire. How about
it? Well, thank you, church. As a World Vision staff member, I can truly say that the home church family is legendary in our partnership together. And I'm really excited to be able to celebrate the faithfulness of home church and all God has done through each one of you. Because 5 years ago, when you guys flipped the script on child sponsorship, stepping into relationships with children in Moala, you guys changed so many things and had a ripple effect on so many areas that I want to share about today. And I only have a little bit of time, but I hope that I can honor you in helping you see what God has done through you. And I just want to celebrate that number for a second. Did you know that 5 years ago, 248 kids in Moala were empowered to choose you? Can we celebrate that? And as I celebrate today with you, I want to start my time with a story about what Pastor Larry just mentioned. The same week in 2019 that you all were chosen, my husband and I were chosen by a child in Malawi. And after I watched dozens of children choose their sponsors, I met an adorable four-year-old named Caroline. I think we have a picture here. And she was cheerfully coloring in this letter as a volunteer helped her write why she chose us to be her sponsor. And she reminded me of our niece Abigail, who's the same age and had this mutual love of coloring. And while they were similar, their worlds were vastly different. Caroline's community faced harsh realities. This water source was a puddle. It was the only source for hundreds of women and children. It was contaminated by a nearby cemetery. That water was so contaminated, it made kids like Caroline so sick that they only had a 50% chance of surviving to age 5. And those who reached kindergarten, for girls, it was even tougher because the harmful traditional practice of childhood marriage meant that 42% of girls in that community were forced to drop out of school to marry grown men. But friends, that was just the beginning of their story for Caroline and her community. In 2019, World Vision had just started connecting sponsors here in the U.S. with children in her community. And so the $39 my husband and I send each month to Caroline is combined with the support from the other sponsors to transform her entire community. And I mean, check out this transformation that I've seen from the My World Vision app. Here's Caroline washing her hands. Do you see it, church? That means they're no longer walking and drinking dirty water that once made them sick. And I also learned her family joined a farming co-op. They're learning how to grow nutritious foods, increase their yield, and sell the surplus in the market to pay for necessities like school fees and supplies and things that they need. And the most touching update that I received was just here recently. It reminded me how much my niece and Caroline have in common still. The girls are both 8 now, and my niece Abigail has become quite the bookworm. She's often seen with a chapter book in her hand looking for a few minutes to just read a couple more pages. And recently I learned that Caroline's favorite subject in school is reading, with this picture of her learning to read and write. This was especially meaningful because I remembered my visit 5 years ago. I took this picture with her with this sign that says, "Give them books, not husbands." Do you see it, church? Today, I see how my sponsorship and sponsorships of others are helping protect kids like Caroline from harmful practices so they can go to school, so they can finish their education, so they can pursue a future just like my niece. And to see this kind of transformation in a single child is remarkable. But friends, remember, that is what's happening with each and every child that you are sponsoring here at Home Church. And there's this African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Together, our sponsorships are going to go farther to reach Caroline and kids like her to bring this kind of transformation. In fact, look at what God has already done through your support in Moala. Through your sponsorship, you have helped 14,000 children and their communities with education, health programs, and water and sanitation hygiene. And while many have received physical water, they've also received living water. Just last year, 4,200 children engaged in spiritual nurture activities where their lives were transformed by learning about God's love for them and their neighbors. And then hundreds of caregivers also engaged in biblically based curriculums that transformed their hearts and mindsets to help them build stronger relationships and stronger families, but also stronger businesses so they can provide for their families. And as Pastor Larry's story about Jeffrey pointed to, training those caregivers is just the beginning. It has a ripple effect because it impacts their children, it impacts their neighbors, it impacts their entire community for generations to come. And these are just a few of the many, many things that are making a difference in Moala. In fact, you've had such an impact that the children who chose you in Walla are now preparing for their entire community to graduate in the next few years. There's no more kids that are waiting for sponsors. And the continued support of the people who sponsor kids there are empowering the people with the tools they need to lift themselves out of poverty for good. And World Vision's going to let those sponsors know when that community graduates, when they no longer need support for those tools. But isn't that incredible? Look at what you've done. And I just want to say thank you. Can we celebrate what God's done through you one more time? And that's not all. This week I was diving in because I realized there's something special about that opening, how we talked about you guys were one of the first churches to say yes to sponsor kids and flipping the script on child sponsorship. And so you were one of the first to pilot the Chosen Initiative with World Vision, and God took your pioneering yes, and he unleashed a miracle that spread across churches across the country and across the globe in vulnerable communities. You see, you all paved the way for other churches to experience the life-changing impact of being chosen by a child. And today we celebrate this faithfulness of Home Church, which has inspired 1,250 churches to be part of Chosen. And because of that, look at these numbers. I don't know if we have these numbers or not, but 124,888 kids have been empowered to choose their sponsors. That's been in 38 countries across the globe. It's gone much farther than Walla, Kenya. And if you were part of Chosen in 2019, you might have thought your yes felt small. But look at what God did with your yes. He multiplied it so that nearly 125,000 children would get to choose their sponsors, and they wouldn't have to wait anymore in dozens and dozens of countries. They were empowered to choose sponsors just like you. And creating the same kind of transformation that we've talked about in these stories today, look at what God has done through you. And so on behalf of the entire World Vision family and the vulnerable communities that we serve, we want to say thank you. Friends, never underestimate God's ability to take your yes and unleash a miracle. May you sense God's favor as we watch this video.
chose.
If you're not crying right now, you're not saved. So beware. Go back to the prayer corner and find Jesus today. That is amazing to me to just see that and to think of the ripple. I love that word, right? The ripple that started. Yeah, you can clap. It's okay. This little church in Bulverde, and now, you know, hundreds and thousands of kids have been affected by this. And what do you say, 125,000 kids worldwide because of what you did. So how many of you were part of that? Is anybody here that was part of our original thing that sponsored a kid? Okay, it's a lot. Wow, that's awesome. So you're the OGs, right? I have a message for you from Jesus. You want to hear it? He'll tell you in person later. But I don't want to steal his thunder, but well done. Good and faithful servant. Because when you love the least of these, you are loving me. And he'll tell you in person, but I just want to give you a head start on kind of what that's all about. I'm excited, man, to see what's happened and what God has done. I don't think I'm supposed to say proud. You're not supposed to say proud. I'm proud of what God has done, and I'm proud that he's chosen us to do it through. And I just have one regret, and that is, you know, Moala's coming together, man. If you're giving to Moala, only about another year and a half, you're going to start getting emails telling you to stop because they're fine. There's no kids there waiting for sponsors anymore. And my only regret is all the people that didn't raise their hands earlier missed that opportunity. My only regret is that there are some people that haven't had this experience of knowing that they're part of this amazing thing. And I was just thinking, if only there were another community. If only there were another group of people that needed transformation and life and healing and water and food, and Jesus. If only there were somebody else in some way that the rest of us could participate, or maybe some of us that participated once could even do it again. If only there were someplace else that we could do this again. And so that's kind of why I wanted to invite ACP up here, because we're going to do it again.
Well, friends, yes, we have another opportunity to go farther together and be the body of Christ. And this time, we're actually inviting Home Church to expand our reach to another country and two new communities. So the communities are in Zimbabwe, and they're called Mimbire and Umzingwane. And they face many of the challenges you've heard from our stories today. Parents struggle to provide enough for their kids, including to provide for their hunger. Children's rights are being violated through abuse and childhood marriage. And so although you may never travel to Zimbabwe to meet these kids, that doesn't mean you're too far for God to use your yes to transform the life of a child as well as their community for generations to come. And so that's why today we're inviting each and every one of you to become a child sponsor, to say yes to sponsoring one of the hundreds of children who are waiting in Zimbabwe for someone to choose them. But together, we're going to flip the script again, right? We're going to allow those kids to choose us. And so for $39 a month, just like Caroline, you'll step into a personal relationship that'll transform that child's life now and impact their community. And so for those who've already sponsored a child in 2019, we just want to say thank you. We're so grateful. But perhaps, like Pastor Larry said, the Lord is nudging you and putting it on your heart for your family has capacity for one more. And so as I kind of wrap up what the opportunity is, I think the thing I've looked forward to most is hearing from your pastor and his heart for what God has said to you for your community here at Home Church.
I mean, obviously we're in love with what World Vision is doing over there, but just for us specifically, I think it's really cool because if you've got one of our t-shirts or coffee mugs or bumper stickers, it says there's a place for you here. That's really an important thing for us. And that doesn't just mean there's a place for you, that we like you, that you're welcome to sit next to us, that we'll share our donuts with you. It means there's a place for you here to make a difference. There's a place for you here to matter for the kingdom. And I'm just excited because this gives everybody a chance. So as the part of the body of Christ, maybe you're not the most forward part, or maybe you're not the biggest part, but everybody can do something. We always say around here, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And so I'm just excited for everybody to have a chance to participate. And I love the way we're doing it, because we're taking pictures now, man. We're gonna do it right now. Mike and Jen, where are they at? They left the church. Oh, great. Oh, they're in the back? Okay, they're back working. Okay, they're back there. Hi, guys. So Mike and Jen are going to Zimbabwe, man. They're going tonight. And they need some pictures to take with them, okay? And so, it's not about competition, obviously, but, when I went, you saw what happened, right? 248 kids got sponsored, and this amazing thing happened. Now, obviously, Mike is not me. But I'm anxious to see what God does through Mike and Jen. I'm anxious to hear the stories when they come back. I can't wait to hear what God is doing through you, through us, through this church, 9,000 miles away. So, tell us how to do it. I know it's really refined since we did it before. Last time we did it, we used like stone tablets we were chiseling into and all that stuff. And so now, I'll give you a hint, you're going to need your phone. So if you can, take out your phone now, and she'll talk you through kind of how the whole process is going to work.
I'm excited. There is a child in Zimbabwe who is waiting to choose you. And so the first thing, if you don't have your phone, like he just said, pull out your phone right now. You're going to need it. You're going to open your camera app. And you're going to point it at the screen, but don't take a picture. And as you do it, there's a little link that pops up. Mine popped up, so I just clicked on it. So tap on that link. And is everyone following along with me? So scan that. And if you're having problems with the screen, you can use the little handout as well. That might help you. And the first question asks you, how many kids do you want to be chosen by? And my husband and I actually sponsor 4 kids. Maybe the Lord's opening your heart up to more. And so just choose however many that is. And then you're going to fill out all your information. It's going to ask your name and all that kind of stuff. Fill it all out until you get to the last question, where it says, would you like to upload a photo, or would you like to take a picture at the photo booth? So is everyone still filling it out? Keep filling it out. And so you're going to, if you're in the building, you're going to want to say, go to photo booth, and you're going to go. There's volunteers in the lobby. They're ready to help you. They're excited to help you. If you're having problems with technology, they can help you with that too. And you're going to take the most epic picture that's going to be hung up with other people from home church for kids to choose you. And if you're online, you can actually upload a picture. If someone's missing from your family today and you don't have everyone take a picture, you can upload a picture, either an epic selfie or one you have saved, so that we can all participate together. But Pastor Mike is getting on a plane today. And so we need everyone to finish up the sign-up process before 8 p.m. tonight so that he can see you be chosen. We want to make sure that he has all of that. And then in 2 weeks, he's going to be back. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be an envelope with your name on it for every person who signs up by 8 p.m. tonight to be able to celebrate the child who chose you with the picture of the child who chose you holding your picture. And I don't want you to miss it, so make sure after service, if you have any problems whatsoever, go to the lobby, get help, but keep filling that out, and I'm excited for these epic photos.
Me too. I'm super excited about the whole process, and we want to get to it, and we've got to turn around because we've got to clear out the parking lot and all that for the next service. But before we do that, I was going to ask if Mike and Jen want to come up, and let's just pray for them and pray for this trip. Get in the middle. Get in the middle. If it's not weird, would you stretch your hand up this way and let's just pray for this? Father, thank you, first of all, for World Vision. Thank you for calling us into your ministry. You're the body of Christ, and you're reaching these children all over the world. And thank you for including us in that and giving us a little part to play in that. Thank you for World Vision and the work that they do. And God, I just praise you for the work that I know you're going to do in this trip and in this endeavor that we're taking on, that you're going to transform these whole communities. Lord, I just pray for Mike and Jen that you will just let them see amazing things and experience amazing things and show them the value of the work that they're doing. And God, I just pray that they'll bring us back an amazing report. I pray that this work will be done well. God, I pray that we'll, as a church, be faithful to finish the task. God, that we'll finish strong and that lives will be transformed in Zimbabwe through the people of this little church in Texas. God, thank you for including us in your plan. Bless us as we carry it out, and lead us and guide us and empower us to do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's it, I think, right? So fill out your stuff, get your picture taken. I love you. I'll see you next week.